Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005 and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years, signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see $100,000, $600,000
deducted.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. "Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here." "Oh, man." He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor." Every check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie, Dawson, said, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes.
New taxes.
I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. Is who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor driven, the radio is sponsorship driven. I said, man, let me get out of this, because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back. Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking, And Mess Ronnie saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will.
Start with what you have. God proves people before he approves them. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Yes, we all have fantastic dreams, visions, ideas. But to realize them, we must be ready to start with what we have, where we are. Yes, you have wonderful dreams. You have wonderful visions. But to realize those dreams and visions, you have to start with what you have, where you are. Many are stagnated and stranded in life, business, and destiny because they want to start big. Start small, think big, and grow bigger. God believes in people who humble themselves to start small. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, it says, who has despised the day of small things. Small things are often despised. What is starting small? Starting small simply means starting from where you are or with what you have. The problem with most people is that they feel they don't have what it takes to start. Wise man said, if you can think enough, mentor said, if you can think enough what you have in your hands, it's enough for you to start with. Hear this truth. God will never allow you to get to the point where he has nothing with you to move you to the next level. There will always be a seed in your life to meet the need of your life. I said there will always be a seed in your life to meet the need of your life. All you need to do is to discover it. In 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 to 7, a woman was highly indebted. And Elisha said to her, what hast thou in thy house? Initially, she said nothing. And later, she remembered that she had something. And said, save a pot of oil. So I ask you, what is in your hands? Don't be afraid to start with what you have. Hear this truth? Nobody climbs the ladder from the top down. People climb the ladder from down up. Refusing to climb from down up, it means you want to die early. Because the only thing that starts from the top is the grave. Only grave, you start from top to down. Every other thing, you start from down to up. To say that, no, I don't believe in small starting, you are saying you want to die quick. Many are stranded because they don't want to start small. They want to start big. Nothing wrong dreaming big, but it's wrong when you're waiting to start big. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 15, he said, unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. So everyone has something to start with. May you start with what you have from today in the name of Jesus. Growth is a process, not an accidental occurrence. In Job chapter 8 and verse 7, Job chapter 8 and verse 7, it says, though thy beginning was small, yet thy later end shall greatly increase. Though you start small, God said your end must go up. May everything you start from today grow in the name of Jesus. Just the way you came and you have seen how God has moved us in 20 years, that's how the world will be surprised at your life the next few years from now. 2 years from now, everyone will be amazed at the lifting hand of God over your life. The louder your amen, you have a testimony. He said, though your beginning may be small, don't despise it. Start from there, because your end is sure. You can start as a janitor. Very soon you'll be a jet owner. You can start. It's only in the kingdom of God where men can start as janitors, what you call garbage carrier, and yet tomorrow you can be a jet owner. It's only in the kingdom of God such things happen. Your story shall be bigger than what I've shared now. Louder, amen, you have a testimony. Jesus did not despise 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He didn't say it was too small. He had to perform the miracle with only 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed thousands of people. Despising what is in your hand is to stop the miracle of the future. In John chapter 6, start with what is available. Stop looking for what is not available. Starting small is a proof of faithfulness. If you look at the parable of the talents, in Matthew 25, 21, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over few things. I make you ruler over many things. It is allowed to talk great, but start with what you have. Every business was once small. Every big business was once small. In the book of Mark chapter 4, 30 to 32. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like the grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Most great businesses today were in small corners, but very soon that your business will become a The Almighty God started the entire race with one Adam. Today, we have over 7 billion people. To say you will not start is to say you don't want to be great. Hear this truth? And hear me well. Starting small does not connote that you don't have a dream. Starting small is not faithlessness. It is faithfulness. Borrowing to start is an evidence of lack of faith. Start with what you have, and God will do the rest. Say here. Don't stress your life by wearing an oversized coat. If you fold the hand, you may not be able to fold the back. Try to borrow. To start something, you may put yourself under pressure. Obstacles to starting small. Obstacles to what? Why many people cannot start small? I'll tell you obstacles to starting small. This ministry started from one room. From what? From one room. We were living upstairs, and the church was in the parlor. My wife and I, we had foam. Many people are seeing us today, they are wondering. We had our foam on the floor, pot on the floor, kitchen, the same room, the next room, about that thing again, the other room, Pastor Charles and family, downstairs, church. That's how we started. I think we saw the canopy. One day rain fell. And our heavens opened. The thing blew the canopy. Somewhere, we are holding the canopy so Isaiah will not fall. Isaiah, be under an open heaven. Amen? If we say no, we'll not start until we start like the cathedral, would have died since. That was the dream, but we had to start somewhere. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. Shout hallelujah. Look at the picture here. Look at this. See where this was the canopy. This canopy, when the rain fell, see how I was looking that time. I think I was still 33 going to 34. So you look how I look. I used to have hair. Don't think I never had hair. Plenty of hair before. You find out where the hair has gone to. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Obstacles to starting small. Number one obstacle is pride. Is what? Pride. Many would have started by saying, look at me, at this my level. Which level are you? In James 4 verse 6, is when he give her more grace, wherefore he said, God is said, pride and give her grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. Pride is overestimation of self. Many would have started saying, bala, bala. I can stand that way. Not me. You know where I come from. I can stand that way. That's why 5 years now you have not started what God told you to start. Number two, obstacle is despising the little. Despising what? The little. Despising the little. If you look at Matthew 25:24-25, Jesus gave a parable. The man with the one talent despised it. He said, what is this? This one talent. My friend, nonsense. The seed you are despising, in that seed is a tree. And the tree is a forest of trees. And the planting of trees, there are many seeds. One orange seed you despise, in that seed is a full tree. And the tree is fruits of oranges. And on that, you have plenty of them. So when you despise the seed and throw it away, you have either thrown away a forest, a plantation of orange trees. The man with the one talent looked at it and said, what nonsense is this? That's how many of us, what is this 5 naira? 5,000? Nonsense. What do you mean 5,000 save? Nonsense. What am I going to do with 5,000? That's why nothing has happened. Number three, why many obstacles to starting small? Not being realistic. Not being what? Not being realistic. Be truthful to yourself. Avoid self-deceit. The prodigal son, the Bible said, came to himself. He came to what? Himself. And told himself, look, this is a prodigal life. There's no point deceiving myself. I knew that there's no way I would get money, so we started with what we have. I didn't say, well, I've been sleeping on bed, therefore, as we came to Paragon, I must sleep on bed. No way. I was realistic. We slept on foam. The chair was bent. I didn't use upholstery till 2001. One day, a member came to our parlor and saw no chair. He said, Pastor, no chair. I said, make us to lie down in green pastures. As if you want chair, you buy. Don't bother me. Am I not anointed? What's your problem? The first chair we had was 2001. The man came, no chair. I said, sit here now, my friend. He said, am I not your pastor who pray for you to be a millionaire? And he said, Papa, Papa. So the next day he came, he brought chairs. I was truthful to myself. There was no point giving myself stress. So I hear. God said, preach how you started. So I'm telling you the truth. All the balloon dreams you have without results can lead you to frustration. Start now. But tell yourself the truth. Okay. This is what I'm saying. I'm going to start with 50 million. Where will you get the 50 million from? Be realistic. You have 5,000, start with it. Now, I have a proposal. My idea is to start with 1 billion. Where will the 1 billion come from? Where will it come from? Be realistic. You don't have 1 billion. So why are you posing? Don't pose so you won't decompose. I have a fantastic dream. 5 years, I've been having a fantastic dream. And did that not be fantastic? Is that cocistic? So be truthful to yourself. Be realistic to yourself. We didn't use microphone until our first anniversary. And the first anniversary, if you see the microphone, it was speaker that the member built. You know what he said? Praise! You went to. You have to wait for the speaker to release it. It was built by a member. We are realistic. Well, if you shout, your voice will be higher than the microphone. The speaker. So, when you say, praise the Lord, you have to come. Because the speaker will cease. Then when it goes back, you say, amen. But we are realistic. We are what? I never borrowed a member's car to drive since this church started. I was realistic because if I borrow a member's car to drive tomorrow, how will he call me? I've never driven any member's car as a principle because you can carry me in your car, but I will never borrow your car. I was realistic. I don't have a car. Carry me. If you don't have, I take my taxi. One day I entered Okada to come here. My wife and I traveled to Lagos. I think we're go hold up around the Romola. So I said, my wife, you be in the taxi. Let me go. So I stopped machine and I entered Okada and they were waiting for me at the junction. I passed them. They knew I was coming from airport. So they were waiting for me. I was in Okada. I got here. They said, "Papa, don't enter church." So I was here. They didn't know when I passed Okada. It didn't move my status as a pastor. That you enter machine, does it change you from a pastor? Be realistic. Be what? I'm seeing myself today. I've never lived a fake life. This is me. God said, preach what you know you are past. Start small. Number four. Procrastination. Pro what? Procrastination. It is putting off impending tasks to a later time. That's the meaning. It is putting off impending tasks to a later time. Many of us would have started, but tomorrow is the yesterday of today. Yesterday, he said tomorrow is already today. Next one. So, in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. He said, walk now while it is time. What does do it? Do quickly. You have been saying for 3 years, you go to school. Go now. For I want to go into international business. Passport, you have? No. Have you got the visa? No. But one day, I will fly from globe to globe without passport. Amen. Stop saying tomorrow. Do it. Whatever you want to do, do it now. If it is school, attend it now. If it is business, start it now. Stop looking for what you don't have. Use what you have. Start here.